same thing took place in that first game. You just don't fall down by 21 points against the number three ranked team in the country and come back to win, but you did it.
Well, our guys have a lot of heart and really got after it and got within 10 at halftime, and then, of course, the second half was a battle all the way, and we finally caught them right at the end. And I don't think we can afford to do that up here on their home court. We better be ready to play right from the beginning.
That was a confidence builder for the team.
I think so. We were, even though we're confident in our abilities, I thought they came into the game a little hesitant, thinking, well, CSI is beating everyone by 30, 40 points. They're really tough, and everyone's awed a little bit by Joy Johnson's jumping. And I think just a combination of everything, they were a little timid. But after we started pressing them, and I think realized that we are probably a quicker team overall than they are, gave our kids a lot of confidence.
Was there a possibility it could have been a little bit of overconfidence coming out of that game? It's been a case of falling behind at halftime and almost out of your game since then.
Well, I don't think so. I didn't think that was during the period I thought we were struggling, which, you know, we have been offensively, and I don't think it changed much that time other than we put together a few good stretches when we were playing good defensively and had a good transition game going. But I really feel good about this week and getting ready for the regionals. We've had a better attitude on the team in the last week than we have for months, it seems like. And everyone's pulling together, complimenting each other, and I really think we're ready to start peaking for the season.
Let's talk a little bit about, before we get to that, the reuniting of the team, let's talk a little bit about what's happened since that. CSI has been challenged, but not beaten. You've been challenged almost every time out, finally got knocked off last time.
We didn't. We've been struggling offensively and defensively, sometimes not doing what we needed to. When we lost to BYU, we had our chances to come back and beat them, and simply because we were not executing and doing the things that we should, we lost.
CSI, Coach Fred Frankel claims that it's almost a clone team of Dixie's and vice versa. We talked about that the first time. You felt somewhat the same way.
I think so. We both have very quick teams, have some good outside shooters. I think they're much more physical than we are. They're bigger and stronger. And then again, I think our depth is better. And so, both teams have their positive sides, but we do a lot of things the same way.
We expected a pressing man-to-man defense on both sides during that first game. We had some surprises.
Well, we did. They played zone for a little while, maybe because of foul trouble or because they were a little tired after a long road trip. But I expect that they'll probably play a good, strong man-to-man most of the game.
Dixie, when you saw that zone, that must have been a total shock for you guys.
It was a little bit surprising. I didn't know they even played zone. And it may have been one of the few times all year that they have. And I think it gives our players confidence to know that they had to go into a zone.
Good players to stop for CSI.
Well, I've always felt, you know, last year or two, that Newman is really the key, the way he rebounds. And he had 32 against us down there with 18 boards. Just a great kid, hard worker, and he gets the job done. Of course, Johnson and Gomez both are very strong and do some good things. And we need to be ready to prepare them. And maybe someone we've overlooked the whole way, maybe Jackson, their point guard, he kind of holds them together. And without him, they don't handle the ball as well.
Jackson seemed to be the only guard that could consistently have a shot at your press.
He really did a good job while he was in there, and I think it was a key thing when he fouled out in the game down there, and hopefully we'll do a good job on him defensively and maybe make him work hard and get him tired again this game.
Let's back up a little bit now. You mentioned since the loss to BYU, there's been a change in the attitude in the team.
I feel a lot of times, even though we weren't playing well and we talked about changing attitude, unless something like a loss comes along, it's hard for all of them to really take a look at themselves. And instead of playing with the attitude, well, I know we're going to win, so I just have to do things to make me look good, instead of the attitude of great players make people around them better. And we emphasize that in our team meeting. People that make others better are the ones that are the real winners, and that's the type of team we need to be.
For the CSI and Eric Newman, for Dixie, many players.
Well, I think so. If you make the people around you better, then the team is going to benefit from it.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the adjustments. We talked talked earlier in the week that you had made some adjustments.
We're having some technical difficulties on that interview. Let's take this break. We'll be back with more of the interview in just a moment.
Newby Holt Oil Company has the answer to all of...
So we had a little technical problem with our pregame interview. Let's pick up with Coach Ken Wagner once again. Hopefully we'll be able to get Coach Fred Trankel's interviews and his comments on after this.
Players, and you know, Roger would be included in that group, but we need some inside scoring punch and rebounding if we're going to be an excellent team. The guards have to understand their roles as far as who's going to be getting the assists, who's scoring, when to score, when not to, and I think there are things that all of them know, and it's just a matter of doing it.
Craig, Jeff, Rob, that point guard position has been sometimes a scoring position for you this year.
It has, and if the other team's giving us that, then we need to take advantage of it. Yet at the same time, we can't do too much of it, or it's hard for a team to get all their scoring from the guard line. It, I think, hurts attitude in many ways.
At this point in the season, your two best percentage shooters are your small forwards, Dave Feldman and Peter Johnson.
Well, they've done an excellent job. They've been probably our two steadiest players, especially recently. And hopefully they'll continue that.
Their role? Pete's been going inside some.
Well, Pete's a better inside player. Pete, I think his role is the inside game and a few short jumpers. When he gets started or starts to shoot the outside three-pointer or close to that, then that's not his game. And once again, that's just a role that he needs to fill.
Clint Rossum, early in the year, he was definitely awesome with his shooting percentage. He's fallen off recently. What about the adjustment for Clint?
Well, I think a lot of Clint's is in attitude. He expects the team, I guess, or what he perceives the team to expect of him and what he thinks the coaches expect of him. And I think if we can get Clint just relaxed and playing his game and not worrying about all those things, that he'll be in better shape.
More shooting by Clint?
Not necessarily more shooting, just more aggressiveness.
Darrell White coming off the bench has been a change. Last game had his best night.
Darrell's coming on, and I've always felt he's going to be a great player, and I really think that he'll start coming into his own. He had to... I think a game that gave him some confidence at BYU, and hopefully he'll continue it. He's really played well defensively, done a great job on a lot of the people we've been playing, and may be our best defensive player at this stage of the season. And so we expect a lot of good things from Darrell.
I got a comment about a couple of other things. One, Pete Johnson and Craig Hopkins had their best games of their career at Dixie against CSI last time out. And yet, you look at the statistics in connection with that, you don't have a ball player in the top 10 in scoring, either season-wide or in conference.
Well, I think that shows a very balanced team. We have a lot of people that can score, and a lot of times that's good because people are happier when everyone's scoring. You don't have one guy that's doing all the shooting. And so it's a good situation, and I think most of my teams have tended to be that way and when I was coaching in high school, and now very rarely did we have someone that scored a lot more points than anyone else on the team.
Do you anticipate anybody breaking loose tonight?
Well, in order for us to win, I think someone has to. I think there comes a time where you have to have someone that, when you need the scoring done, is ready to come out and do it. And I think Craig and Pete did that the first time around, and in all of our games where we've played well, we've had someone step forward and take that role on. I think, again, tonight we need to have someone have a big game.
It's starting lineup tonight for the Rebels?
Well, we'll be going with Craig and Clint at guard, Peter and Roger at forwards with Steve in the middle.
The keys, rebounding defense and what?
Well, I really feel that rebounding defense, especially, you know, we really have to concentrate on rebounding. And then the other thing is to make sure that we control the tempo of the game, that we don't get caught up in a running game if it's going well for them, that we slow it down and take our time. Or if the running game's there, to take it, but just make sure that we're in control of the tempo.
Your running game last time really blitzed CSI in the second half.
Well, we did a good job, and so if we have it, we need to run. But like I said, just so it's run at our tempo and not theirs.
Coach Ken Wagner, thank you for being with us. Good luck tonight.
Thank you, Larry.
We're talking with CSI head basketball coach Fred Trinkle. Coach, this is really the type of excitement that college basketball is all about, isn't it?
Well, you know, you'd like to think so. There's not too many junior colleges that have the following and the backing to really pack things up and get things going. And, you know, we're happy to see that you guys did when we were down there. And, of course, we've been doing this for 2 years now. And it's created a lot of excitement to where we put a number of our games, in fact, 8 this year on local television, which hits about 125,000 people in this area. We're still packing it out, so we feel really good about it. And obviously, I think people are going to be treated to a nice ball game tonight.
There's only been a handful of occasions in the last 10 years or so when two junior college teams have been on the same floor with the type of records that both teams have, like Dixie and CSI.
Yeah, I think, in fact, a year ago, I think I mentioned this down in Dixie when San Jacinto met Midland in a playoff game. 2 met 3 was, in fact, the first time that I had heard, you know, in any type of playoff, let alone within one region, 2 meeting 3 twice in the same year. It's going to be a fun game, and, you know, it has a lot of national impact. I think it says a lot for Region 18, and, gosh, you know, you guys have skimmed by a number of teams in this region over the last few weeks, so it must say a lot for the rest of the league.
It's been a tough league. CSI's been challenged somewhat, too, and now CSI and Dixie. Your team has still maintained its winning streak since they're leaving Dixie. That must be a plus.
Well, yeah, we've been on the road 8 out of our last 9 games also, so it's good to be back home. We have 3 ball games in a row back home to finish out, and then we go to Treasure Valley. We take them one at a time, as I told you down here, and we're trying to keep for the regional tournament. Of course, obviously, we know the regional tournament's going to be on this floor, and it's been a long time since we've lost on this floor. The kids that I bring in this program take great pride in playing very, very well at home, and obviously they've taken some pride in playing well on the road because, of course, our only loss is to Dixie. We've been essentially everywhere you've been. So it's kind of unique, two real nice teams, and we're very similar teams, and I think that's what made for such a neat matchup up in St. George about a month ago.
We talked about that in St. George, almost clones of one another.
Well, really, we are. We both have 2 or 3 good-sized kids that are very active and inside-outside, and then we have 2 or 3 athletes at the 6'3", 6'4", range, and then we have a couple of 6'5", kids about the same, and then we both have 3-point guards that do similar things, and yeah, it's really too bad, you know, that only one team out of this region. Of course, we can't totally assume that we'll be ourselves or Dixie. It could be one of the other two teams in the region. You know, it's too bad that some years there's not concessions made for top-ranked teams who have to play a lot of tough ball games, and they stay ranked high, and they've only beaten each other, and there are more teams than one can go out of a region. But I guess we're lucky that one's going. Some years only a half a team goes out of a region.
This year, Dixie and CSI, similar with New Mexico Junior College in Midland, they're having the same situation in their region.
Yeah, there's an awful lot of nice ball clubs in the country, and, well, you know, when we get down to it, I guess only one can win the final big tournament, and you guys have won it, and we have won it here, and that says a lot for Region 18. It's been a good rivalry this year. I know we've kind of been chasing you ever since the first polls came out, and you're ranked 4th, and we were ranked 6th, I think, in the very first polls. And I think my kids, having a lot of sophomores back, did not understand how you got ranked ahead of us. But, of course, after we played you down there and found out you were 7, I knew you were a good ball club. But, you know, it's tough for kids to understand. And they felt a little bad. They felt they let you off the hook that night, that they jumped on you, and then Maybe we got worried too much about foul trouble because we zoned, the only time we zoned all year was down there trying to keep people on the floor, and maybe missed a free throw or two that looked big, but obviously we missed a lot of them through the night that could have made things easier. So I think it's going to be a real nice ball game tonight. I know my kids seem to play about 10 to 20 points better at home, and we'll just have to see who's made it well. It's going to be a great crowd to get the ball players going in it.
As a head coach, do you enjoy coaching games like this?
Well, you know, as a head coach, if you get in a big game, that means you've got a nice ball club. We've been in a lot of big games, and that's what it's all about. In the last 2 years, it seems like every week there's another big game. You know, you go to Utah Tech, if you lose, this isn't such a big game. You go to Ricks and you lose, this isn't such a big game. Same with Dixie. They lose at Snow, this isn't such a big game tonight, you know. But since we're both still 2-3 in the country, it makes it a big game, and this has been sold out since, oh, gosh, I think way before, right close to 5 o'clock, they stopped taking tickets, and it's going to be a great contest tonight. Certainly, I enjoy it. Only winners make the big games, and no matter who wins or loses tonight, both teams are winners because both teams have great records. And I think I said this earlier, nobody's going to remember the results of tonight. If there's a third game, then everyone will remember who won the third one, and no one will care who won the first one or the second one.
Tonight, the key for CSI.
Well, I don't think we can give Johnson and Hopkins two of the better games of the year like we did down there, and there's no reason why they should get them. We did a good job on other people like Rossum. We didn't do a very good job of defense in transition. We didn't do a very good job of keeping people out of foul trouble. We didn't do a very good job of hitting free throws. We did an excellent job of going to the boards. We did an okay job on turnovers. They were basically even, and we shot about the same. But we didn't do the things that we had done all year. I don't know. We had a lot of fans down there that night. We had over 200 fans at Dixie that night, and a lot of them said, well, you played three games in a row. And I said, well, hey, you go to the national tournament, you have to play four games in a row. So what's the difference? So I think the key to the ball game tonight is controlling Ross and Hopkins, and I feel we can do a good job on Ross. McDonald got all his from the foul line last time. If that happens again, I guess it happens. You know, he was 11 out of 12 from the free throw line in the second half. But we didn't do a very good job on Johnson. He kind of snuck up on us. So I hope tonight that, our plan obviously is to do a good job on all of them and not make it the same kind of contest there was last time. But 40 minutes of basketball, that ball bounces a lot of strange ways. I'm sure it'll be a very nice ball game.
Starting lineup tonight for the Golden Eagles.
Well, we'll go with the same, basically the same starting lineup I think we had in Dixie, although we found out, Gomez was in his third week of mono at the time, and I know that had a lot of effect on his stamina and shooting, but we'll go with Gomez, Drevnik in the middle, we'll go with Keith Jackson at the point guard, Joey Johnson at one wing, and Eric Newman at the other.
Eric Newman may be one of the most unsung superstars in this region. It seems to be not as glamorous as Joey Johnson because of the jumping ability of Joey, but every coach that I've talked to says, hey, Newman is a quality player.
Well, Newman is the MVP of this region. I don't care who wins it. I don't care who wins tonight's game. There's no question. For 2 years, the guy was first team all region. A year ago, he had to go against Swinmeyer 5 times, and 4 out of 5 outscored him, and 5 out of 5 out rebounded him. He led the league in rebounding a year ago. He's like second or third this year in the league, but we have some other people doing a lot of rebounding, too. He's, I think, leading the league in field goal percentage. He's one of the top shooters. I think he's one of the top 10 in free throws. What more can you ask for a 6'3", 205-pound undersized center? I mean, he just does it all. And not only that, but I think Rossum was 1 for 9 from the field last time and 2 for 8 from 3-point, and the 2 from 8 were out of the zone. Newman did a heck of a job on Rossum. So 1 year he swings from Swinmeyer, one of the best players to ever play at 6'11", 245 in the league, to Rossum, one of the better off guards that's ever been in the league. And the guy can do it all. And believe me, if you try to stop Newman, the rest of them are going to beat up on you because we never go to the guy. He just gets you 20 or 30, no matter what. You know, he's just that kind of player. So his parents are here tonight from San Francisco. They made the trip down here, so I hope he has an extra big game tonight. Coach Fred Trinkle, thank you for being with us. Good luck to you.
There you've heard from the two head coaches. Let's take this break. We'll be back with more pregame activity. Good starting lineups back after this.
Jones Paint and Glass offers a paint sale for people who want more than just a lower price. That's right, it's a Pittsburgh paint sale. Save over $7 on Pittsburgh latex flat paint that goes on creamy smooth and withstands years of scrubbing. now only $11.99 a gallon. Save $8 on Pittsburgh latex enamel with luster finish for hardware areas, now only $14.99 at Jones Paint and Glass. Pittsburgh Paint makes painting worth the effort, and Jones Paint and Glass makes it easy to paint and save. Jones Paint and Glass at 596 East Tabernacle in St. George.
Hunt Motor Company in St. George is proud of the excellent athletic program at Dixie College and happy to bring you these games. Lunt Motor Company is also happy to bring you the best automotive values in St. George. Because they have lower overhead, Lunt's can sell new Dodge cars and trucks for less. And right now, with special financing as low as 3.7% or factory rebates of up to $1,000, you'll save even more. But you'll never know how much you'll save until you talk to Ken Bentley at Lunt Motor Company in St. George across from Ancestor Square.
Back at the gym in College of Southern Idaho. If anything, this is a bigger crowd than we had in St. George. It's a little bigger gym. But it was packed almost from the beginning of the girls' game on. This is a crowd and one of the largest gates. It looks like the largest gate the CSI has had this year. They had a great crowd against Ricks College. But once again, it's a huge crowd here tonight, and I guess you can say that's appropriate. Number two-ranked Dixie College versus the number three-ranked College of Southern Idaho. We may spend our night on our feet because people are standing in front of us. For Dixie, starting up front will be 6'8" sophomore from Salt Lake City, Roger McDonald. Also up front, 6'8" freshman Steve Andrus from Tempview High School in Provo. As a forward position, along with McDonald, will be Pete Johnson, 6'4" sophomore from Hawaii, Honolulu, Hawaii. Fred Rawson, 6'3" sophomore from Las Vegas, Nevada. And 5'9" sophomore Craig Hopkins from Las Vegas, Nevada, will be the other guard. For CSI, starting at guard will be Keith Jackson, a 5'11" sophomore from Chicago, Illinois. As the other guard will be Joey Johnson, 6'4" sophomore from San Pedro, California, younger brother of Dennis Johnson of the Boston Celtics. In the middle will be Eric Newman, a 6'4" sophomore from Daly City, California, in the San Francisco area. The forwards will be Eduardo Drevnik from Sao Paulo, Brazil, 6'8" sophomore, a transfer from Lamar University. And Mauro Gomez, a 6'7" sophomore from Sao Paulo, Brazil, will start at the other forward position. It looks like we'll be standing, about ready to get underway. Number two versus number three. And I think maybe this would be appropriate at this time. Rob Ross is here walking in as the power of positive thinking personified for the Dixie team. Smiles with all of the big crowd there and says, oh, I love playing before a large hostile crowd. Great big smile on his face. And people are standing and chanting. Chanting Joey, who is a record high jumper in junior college rank. And he can get up. Johnson jumping against Andrus. Andrus is 6'8". And let's see how it goes. Half controlled by Johnson into the hands of number 23, Eric Newman. Into the corner it goes to Gomez. Jump shot up. No good. Rebound tapped around off the hands of Hopkins. Out of bounds. Out of bounds to CSI. So CSI gets the opening shot. The people sit down. Keith Jackson to inbound for the Golden Eagles. We may be up and down quite a bit. Newman and McDonald. A little bit of positioning underneath, and already we're getting some talking. Jackson to inbound. Looks for help. Jackson trying to inbound. Does so underneath. It goes to Newman. Layup, no good. Rebound, tap once again. No good. Rebound into the hands of Clint Rossum. Dixie on the fast break. It doesn't develop. Ball knocked away from Rossum. Picked up by McDonald. Cross-court pass. It goes to Johnson. Bank shot up and good. And Pete Johnson gets the first 2 points of the night. Dixie leads 2-0. Johnson had a career-high 32 against CSI last time out, and Craig Hopkins had the best game of his career against the Golden Eagles. Jackson against Hopkins. Looks for help. In deep. It goes to Drevnik. Drevnik looks for help. Out in front to Gomez. Three-point attempt. Up. No good. Rebound. Battle four into the hands of Jackson. Back to the basket. Lays it in. Two-handed shovel shot. It's a 2-2 tie. A number of fans came up from St. George, but they may not have been able to all get tickets. They were turning away fans with the girls' game, about a half an hour away from getting underway. This is a sellout crowd and then some. And it's on cable television, live in this area. Hopkins to the free throw line, dishes off to Pete Johnson at the wing. Looks for help. A 2-2 tie. Johnson clears it out in front to Clint Rossum. Rossum against Newman. To Johnson, underneath it goes to McDonald. Layup, bank shot, no good, and there's a foul. Reach-in foul. We'll go to Keith Jackson. Jackson with his first personal foul. First team foul, and McDonald will shoot free throws. In St. George, McDonald, part of the heroics, as Roger hit free throws coming down the wire that helped get Dixie the victory. In fact, hit 11 of 12 on the night. McDonald trying to break the 2-2 tie. First shot is up and good, and Roger McDonald, with that first point, has moved into a tie on the all-time season record list for, and has moved ahead of Arlen Hafen now on the all-time single season list as McDonald hits the second, 4-2. Dixie out in front, pressure by Dixie, full court pressure. Pass from Jackson down the sidelines, goes to Gomez, goes baseline, Gomez layup with the left hand, good, and Gomez ties it up. 2-2. Gomez, quick ball player, much quicker than we saw in St. George. McDonald into forecourt. McDonald driving, pulls up at the free throw line, shot up, soft and good, and Roger McDonald playing point guard when the guards were covered. It's the basket, 6-4. Jackson gets away from Hopkins, running right-handed layup up, no good. Rebound brought down by Andrus, and they call the foul on Andrus. Down went Gomez, and Andrus has the foul. His first personal, first team foul. Out of bounds to CSI under their own basket. Jackson to inbounds. Does so to Joey Johnson. Johnson makes the move in the lane, flying right-hander, good, and Johnson ties it. Joey Johnson, 6-6 tie, full court pressure by CSI. Rossum in backcourt against Newman, being chased by Newman. 23 versus 23. Rossum with the basketball goes to Pete Johnson. Johnson against Joey Johnson. At the angle, it goes to Roger McDonald. McDonald makes the move to the baseline. Now, underneath, it goes to Clint Rossum. Fallaway right-hander over Newman. Good, and Clint Rossum arched it high and stopped over Newman. So Dixie not backing off at all, 8-6. Dixie out in front with 17:47 left in the first half of play. Jackson at the right side to Joey Johnson, and both teams playing extremely well. Gomez all alone, three-point angle, good. Gomez, right side, hits the three-pointer. That gives CSI their first lead, 9-8. Full court pressure by CSI. Not quite as intense a full court pressure, but they're right there. Rossum to bring it up against Newman. Rossum reverses down the lane. Bounce pass off the leg of CSI to Hopkins. Free throw line, jump shot. Good, Craig Hopkins. Hopkins comes up with it. Gives Dixie the lead, 10-9. Gomez, the top three-point shooter for CSI. Made good. 1 out of 2 now. Jump shot, baseline, Johnson, no good, Joey Johnson, rebound tap by Andrus to Pete Johnson. Craig Hopkins, transition game, Hopkins pulls up, looks for help. It's the trainer, Steve Andrus, underneath, Pete Johnson, jump shot from 5, good, and Pete Johnson has his second basket. 12-9, Dixie out in front, Fred Trinkle working the officials, up talking already. Dixie with a three-point lead. Steve Jackson across the 10-second line against Dixie's man-to-man defense. At the angle to Gomez. To the baseline, it goes to Joey Johnson. Fallaway right-hander, Joey Johnson, no good. Rebound, Newman puts it up, no good. Rebound, Newman puts it up and in. Eric Newman with a basket. Brings CSI back within one. Clint Rossum in the three-point area has a notion, doesn't take the shot. Now makes the move on Newman. In the lane, pulls up, five-footer, up, stops and good. And Clint Rossum has his second basket of the night. Clint Rossum, 4 points on the night. Needs 16 to tie Craig Hammer for number 6 on the all-time scoring list for Dixie. 14-11, Dixie by 3. Jackson to Newman. Newman regains control of the ball. Can't get the layup. Rebound up, no good. Rebound, beat route, rebound again, and finally the foul will go to Drevnik on the back of Steve Andrus. Robbie Nielsen signals to the official, hey, there are 3 times, but Drevnik gets the foul. Up over the back, and it's out of bounds to Dixie in backcourt. Second team foul on CSI. First personal on Drevnik. Andrus in bounce against the full court pressure. Looks for help, gets it to Clint Rossum. Rossum against Newman. Wants to clear out and go against Newman. Newman working hard against Rossum. Rossum across the 10-second line. Right down the lane. Free throw line. Dishes off to Andrus. Goes for the slam dunk. There's a foul on Gomez. Gomez with a personal foul. Rossum set that one up. Andrus grabbed the rim as he went up for the slam dunk, and I think Fred Trinkle wanted the technical on that, didn't get it, because Drevnik, it will go to Drevnik, not to Gomez, and that's number two on Eduardo Drevnik. Drevnik, young man from Sao Paulo, Brazil. 15:52 left in a half. 14-11, Dixie out in front, and Steve Andrus, less than the most efficient free throw shooter, will be shooting a couple. Dixie has had four out of the five starters score. This is also a happy birthday night for Mike Osick. Osick celebrating his birthday tonight. Shot up, in and out. Andrus has to dip in and come right back out again. So it remains 14-11. Steve Andrus, we mentioned before, is just happy to have any free throw fall. He puts it up, and if it goes, he's grateful. Second shot up, and good. Andrus gets one out of two. Make it a 15-11 lead. Four-point lead for Dixie. Drevnik into forecourt. Gets in front of Andrus. Pulls up, leaves it for Keith Jackson. Jackson against Hopkins. Back out in front, it goes to Gomez. Picked up by Pete Johnson to Drevnik. Drevnik into the corner. Jackson, three-point attempt up. No good. Rebound, Peter Johnson. Johnson looks for the outlet pass. Pushing hard up court. Has the ball knocked away. No. Throws it away. Didn't really have control of it when he tried to push the pass to Rotham. Thrown out of bounds. A lot of coaches in the audience, including Rod Tuller of Utah State over in the far corner. Away from us. We're across the gym from where we usually set up. They've moved it to the other side. Jackson drives, and the reach-in foul may go to Roger McDonald. If it is, that's number one on McDonald's second team foul. Common foul out of bounds to CSI under their own basket. Three team fouls on CSI, two on Dixie. And right now, this is just the way you'd expect it. Number two and number three, and both teams playing very well and going right after each other. Four-point lead by the Rebels. Jackson inbounds into the corner to Joey Johnson. Joey Johnson picked up by McDonald. Lob comes way out in front to Mauro Gomez. The three-point attempt up and shot. Gomez with his second three-pointer. That brings it back to within one, 15-14. Gomez likes to shoot. He does very well with it. Pass goes to Peter Johnson in the corner. His intended pass to Joey Johnson for McDonald, deflected by Joey Johnson to Newman for the two-pointer. Eric Newman driving right down the middle of the lane makes it 16-15 CSI. So Dixie with a four-point lead, and CSI came back to get the advantage again. Hopkins down the sidelines to Rawson, knocked away by Newman, out of bounds. The official on the near side says it's out of bounds to CSI, but it was off of Rawson's hands. The official on the far side was directing in favor of Dixie, but the official on the near side was closer. Into the lineup comes Rob Ross. Also into the lineup, Dave Caldwell. Timeout CSI, 14:49, less than a half, 16-15 CSI. Back after this.
Newby Holt Oil Company has the answer to all of your oil and gasoline needs. They sell oil wholesale to anyone and carry most of the major brands of oil. They also sell furnace oil, diesel, and gasoline. Newby Holt Oil serves a four-state area, and no job is too big or too small for them to handle. They may be hard to find, but it's worth your trip out Industrial Road to find them on the left just before the road ends at the old tunnel. Or pick up the phone and call 628-2879, and Newby Holt will give you fast service.
Back in Twin Falls, Idaho, CSI has come from 4 points down to lead by one. Five unanswered points on the three-pointer by Mauro Gomez. And the steal and the two-pointer by Newman, and CSI will have the basketball. You're listening to Dixie College Basketball on KDXU, St. George, Utah. Ross and Baldmo into the lineup for the first time tonight, and Dixie going with that rotation basis again. We may see a lot of Darryl White. Darryl White coming on with his best performance of the year against the BYU JV, even though it was a losing cause last time out. 16-15, CSI with the lead with 14:49 left in a half, and all indications are this is going to be a high-scoring ball game. Out of bounds to CSI. Gomez, a little bit of a haircut since last we saw him. Shorter hair, but shooting much better, feeling much healthier. Jackson being chased by Ross. At the angle, it goes to Gomez. Underneath, it goes to Drevnik. Gets away, slams it home. Drevnik close it up down low. Got away and got the two-handed slam dunk. So that's seven unanswered points by CSI. Ross into forecourt against Jackson. Goes right to the baseline. Ross along the baseline. Stepped on the end line, they say, and out of bounds. Ross, the official says, stepped on the end line. So Dixie with a turnover. Darryl White into the lineup for the first time. Dixie trails by three after leading by four.
Steve Andrus to take a breather. So White will go to a forward position. Inbound comes to Eric Newman. Newman will be face up on Darryl White. No, Dave Caldwell picks him up now. Newman at the angle, looks for help, out away from the action. Moves it out in front to Gomez. To Keith Jackson, CSI, much more comfortable in this gym. They're playing very well. Joey Johnson gets away from Clint Lawson, lays it up and in. Joey Johnson went baseline, and that's 9 unanswered points by CSI. 20-15, CSI out in front. Ross looks for help. Ross against Jackson. It's Darryl White. White intended for Ross, and ball knocked away. Right back into the hands of Darryl White. Back to Dave Faldmo. To Darryl White underneath, lays it up, banks it too hard. Rebound brought down. They call the foul on Darryl White. Out of bounds to CSI. Darryl White missed the layup. The bank shot from in close. On the rebound, they call the foul on White. That's the 13th foul, first personal on White and Dixie. Into one of those slow spells. Games are played in streaks, and it's CSI's streak right now. They've had 9 unanswered points. Jackson against Ross. Jackson pushing into forecourt. Behind the back dribble, Jackson clears it, still with the dribble out in front. Gomez from almost 4-point range. Shot that's no good. Rebound tap down, brought by home by Newman. Out in front it comes to Keith Jackson. Jackson back to Gomez. Gomez against Faldo. Backing away from trouble. Back out in front it comes to Jackson. Down the lane. Jackson running right-hander up. No good. Rebound Newman. Taken away by Clint Rossum. Newman goes down and Rossum comes up with a basketball. Switches hands. Going against Keith Jackson. Rossum gets away in the lane. Dishes off to White. Bank shot from 10. Soft and good. And Darryl White picking up where he left off against BYU. Gets his first basket. That ends a 9-point string by CSI. 20-17. CSI out in front with 13:05 left in a half. Jackson against Ross. Jackson reverses. Bounce pass to right side. Goes to the new man in. Nice double check. That's Bill Wurski into the lineup. Good shooter to Joey Johnson. Bank shot up. No good. Rebound by Newman. No good. Rebound by Newman. Taken away by Rob Ross. Ross. This deals a White right away. Into forecourt. Ross looks for help. Ross. Dishes off to Darryl White at the baseline. Back to Ross. Ross looks for Clint Rossum. To Roger McDonald away from the action. McDonald out in front to Clint Rossum. Wants to go head up on Eric Newman. Free throw line jump shot up. No good. Long rebound brought down by Gomez. Outlet pass comes to Jackson. 2-on-1. Jackson lays it up and in. Dixie stung by the fast break. 22-17. Once again, a 5-point lead. That's the largest margin of the game for CSI. Dixie is led by as much as 4. Rossum against Newman. Clint Rossum looking to the basket more in this game than he has in a long time. Darryl White out in front, Rob Ross. Head fakes against Jackson. Can't get the shot away. Out in front, Faldmo. Free throw line jumper. Good, Dave Faldmo. Faldmo, the leading percentage shooter for Dixie now. Even though he doesn't score that much, he picks his shots and hits them. Brings it back within 3, 22-19 with 11:52 left in the first half. Jackson at the angle. It goes to Wurski. Back out in front to Keith Jackson. Right side it goes to Gomez. Gets away, dishes off underneath. Newman, hook shot up, no good. Rebound, Newman. Puts it up and in, no good. Rebound brought down. Wurski loses it. They say touch last by Wurski, out of bounds. Wurski and McDonald there. Dixie not getting their share of the rebounds as the rebounds seem to come up over the head of Dixie when Dixie has position. And CSI getting a lot of position, too. Craig Hopkins back in. Clint Rossum to sit down. So the two Whippet guards, the little ones. Ross and Hopkins. Ross to push it into forecourt to Hopkins in three-point territory, has a notion. Cross-court pass goes to Roger McDonald. McDonald leaves it for Dave Faldmo. McDonald wants it back instead to Hopkins. Three-point attempt up short. Rebound out over the head of Faldmo, picked up by Newman. Late pass comes to Jackson. Lean in, bank shot will go, and they call a foul. No, the offensive foul on Jackson afterwards. Jackson gets the basket, but also gets his second personal foul, so it will count 24-19. But Jackson gets the foul, and that's the 14th foul on CSI. Dixie with the basketball. Substitutions again. Into the lineup, Gerald Collins for the first time for CSI. It's Jackson to take a breather. Out of bounds to Dixie in backcourt. Steve Andrus back in, and Roger McDonald to take a breather. Andrus looks for help on the inbound. Comes inbounds to Darryl White. White to push it into forecourt. Dixie cannot get the fast break going. Instead, gets it back out in front to Craig Hopkins. Hopkins against Collins. Two heavyweights punching at each other right now. Hopkins looks for help. Gets it to Dave Faldmo. Back to Craig Hopkins. Hopkins makes the move. In the lane, pulls up. Dishes off to Ross. Ross comes out on the dribble. Baseline jump shot. Ross up. No good. Long rebound brought down by Wurski. So CSI controlling the boards right now, and that's part of the difference. Hopkins
goes over the back of Jackson. Ball knocked away by Hopkins. Jackson gets it back, puts it up and in. Foul will go to Andrews. Steve Jackson with his fourth basket. Jackson did not go out. It was Gomez, correction, Drevnik who went out. Jackson makes it 26-19. Baldwin talking to the official right now. 10:47 left in the ball game, and if I'm right, one of the officials is the man who worked the ball game up to a few ball games up here we've seen before. I believe that's Ogden. Don't know his first name. Has the tattoos on the forearms, and I remember him from before. Jackson at the free throw line. 10:47 left in the half, and CSI. Similar to the game in St. George right now. Jackson puts it up and in, although Dixie's playing with much more confidence in this game than they did the last game this early in the game. Dale Clark, who almost won the game in St. George with free throws, did tie it up in the first overtime, comes in replacing Jackson. Andrus to inbound. Andrus looks for help. Gets it inbounds to Darryl White. White shovels off to Craig Hopkins. The transition game is there. Hopkins into forecourt. Cross court, it goes to Dave Baldwin. In the lane, free throw line. Jump shot up, soft. Will it go? No. Dixie getting one shot, and that's it. Wirsky with a rebound. Here comes Collins to Joey Johnson. Loses the basketball, gets it up on the dribble. No double dribble calls. Switch hands with a dribble. Hart, 3-point attempt. Good. Hart puts it up and in, and it's 30-19. 11-point lead by CSI. Similar to the game in St. George. Dixie with a flat spell and CSI coming back. Hopkins against Collins. Dixie trying to get the offense going. To Baldwin. Out in front it goes to Darryl White. White from the top of the key. Shot up. Soft. Not enough. Rebound. Tipped around into the hands of Collins. Pass break to Joey Johnson. Johnson lays it up in. CSI on the verge of blowing Dixie off the floor again. 32-19. Does Dixie want a timeout? Dan Wagner wants the offense to move. Dixie has been outscored 21-4 and cannot afford that against CSI. Hopkins in the lane against Collins. Pulls back, leaves it to White at the baseline. Can't get the shot away. Out in front it goes to Andrus. Andrus in the lane makes the move, lays it up. No good. There's a foul on Wirsky, and Andrus will shoot free throws. Wirsky with his first personal foul. McDonald in. White out. Baldmo out. Johnson in. Rossum in, and Roth out. 9:35 left in a half, and Dixie down by 13. Where have we seen this before? Dixie has been down in five out of their last seven games has trailed at the half. And only the game against the BYU JV has ended up as a loss. If CSI wins, Andrus shot up and good. And both teams win the rest of their league games. Dixie will be the top seed, even though CSI will win. Host the regionals. Andrus, 2-for-2 now, 3-for-4 on the night, and all 3 points to Andrus. Timeout called by television this time. 9:34, less than a half, 32-21. It should be, with CSI out in front. Back after this, CSI leads by 11, and here comes the full court pressure again. Gomez brings it into forecourt, playing very well. Gets away from Pete Johnson. Gomez to the baseline. It goes to Eric Newman. Clears it out in front. 3-point attempt. Karst up and good. CSI, I believe, is 4 out of 5 in 3-point attempts, and it's back to a 14-point lead, 35-21. Hopkins into forecourt against Dale Karst. Hopkins looks for help. Trying to get it to Rossum. Backdoor pass. Bounced away. Dixie with the turnovers. Not moving on offense. 9:03 left in the game. Dixie was down by 21 in St. George and came back to win, but they cannot afford to do that in Twin Falls. Collins against Rossum. Collins across the 10-second line reverses against Rossum. Darryl Collins in replacing Keith Jackson. Into the corner it goes to Gomez. Gomez in the lane, drives, dishes the pass, back over his head to Joey Johnson, who slams it home. Joey Johnson with 8 points and everything in deep. 37-21, 16-point lead, and the fans are enjoying this one right now. Hopkins against Karst. Dixie getting one shot, and that's it. Dixie's offense not moving, and the rebounding is all CSI right now. Ball knocked away by Joey Johnson. No foul on the play. Down goes Johnson. Down goes Ross, and ball knocked away from Karst, and Hopkins gets the foul. And Dixie's wondering where the foul was at the other end. And may have an argument. Ken Wagner out talking right now. Where was the foul at the other end? And Wagner is angry. Down went Rossum. And they called a shooting violation. Karst
will go to the free throw line. No, they say on the drive, not on the foul, so I guess that's the turnaround. 37-21, 16-point lead, and CSI in control right now. Gerald Collins inbounds into the corner to Karst. Out in front it comes to Gomez. CSI making it look easy now with their good shooting. Getting the shots that they like to hit, and they're hitting them. Gomez against Andrus from downtown. Shot no good. Rebound stolen by Gomez out of the hands of Hopkins. And CSI with the ball again. CSI just a little quicker tonight to get to the ball. Joey Johnson gets away underneath. It goes to Newman, who lays it up and in. Eric Newman with the basket, and Dixie being thumped right now. 18-point lead, 39-21. Dixie stone cold and not getting anything in the way of the board. Hopkins looks for help. Out in front it goes to Quint Rossum, to McDonald. Free throw line, head fakes against Newman. Gets Newman in the air, puts the shot up, and Newman gets the foul. McDonald to go to the free throw line. Newman gets his first personal foul. That's the 15th foul, 5 on each side, 7:38. Left in the first half, 39-21, and Dixie's going to have to start making a move again. It was at about this point in St. George that Dixie came from 21 points down to bring it back to within 10 at the half. McDonald shooting a couple. First shot, no good. McDonald now 2 for 3 on the night, a total of 4 points. McDonald has not been healthy, but he's working hard. 39-21, second shot up and good. And McDonald now 3 for 4 on the night. That brings it back to within 17. Dixie will put on the full court pressure. Collins and Karst. Collins still in backcourt. Pass comes into forecourt. Almost stolen by Faldmo. He's into the lineup. Faldmo, Johnson into the lineup. Hopkins to sit down and Rob Ross to come back in. Dixie to try to put the defensive pressure on. Dixie down by 17, 39-22. Gomez looks for help. And so far it's been all CSI. Newman to Karst to Gerald Collins. Out in front. Gets it to Eric Newman. Out away from the action. Newman to work on McDonald. To leave it for Joey Johnson. Johnson has been getting some shots underneath and hitting them. To Gomez, who's been getting the shots out in front and hitting them. Karst at the angle, it goes to Gerald Collins. Collins against Rossum. Back to Karst. Karst against Ross. To Gomez. Gomez cut off by Faldo. Hook pass underneath, deflected by McDonald. Picked up by Pete Johnson. Joey Johnson with the foul. Going after the basketball, leaned on Pete Johnson, has his first.
by any Dixie player against ESI last time. Misses the front end of a one-on-one. Dixie cannot afford that. Into forecourt, Joey Johnson. Ball knocked away by Pete Johnson, but into the hands of Collins. Collins picked up by Rossum. Reverses, Collins trying to get away. Lob pass goes into the corner to Eric Newman. Cross-court pass goes to Mauro Gomez. Three-point attempt up, no good. Rebound, tapped away, brought down by Rob Roth. Fast break, Dixie, three-on-three, and there's a foul away from the action on Newman. Newman trying to get it. McDonald picks up his second personal foul, and Eric Newman will send McDonald to the free throw line. Fred Trinkle wondering what's taking place. CSI involved in one fight earlier this year at North Idaho. Dixie trying to play it calm, so CSI. Joey Johnson talking to the official now. 39-22, 17-point lead, and Eric Newman trying to lobby. Newman with his parents in town to watch has his second personal foul. Into the lineup comes Wirsky to sit down Eric Newman. 6:43 left and a half, and McDonald at the free throw line again. 5 points on the night for Roger McDonald. McDonald now has moved beyond two ball players and moved into number 21 position on the all-time scoring list, or I should say on the all-time single season total. Now has the 21st best season. First shot up and good by McDonald. 39-23. Fred Trinkle talking to the officials. McDonald trying to get the second shot up. It's short. Rebound, Rossum. Head fakes, puts it up. It will not go. Rebound, tap by Rossum. Rebound finally brought down by Gomez. Rossum missed the jump shot from right in front of the basket. Gomez in backcourt. 39-23. Dixie down by 16. Into the corner it goes to Joey Johnson. Out in front, Gomez makes the move on Faldmo. Dishes off to Wirsky in the lane. Wirsky puts it up. Reach in foul. No travel call on Wirsky. Looked like it might have been a foul on Faldmo. Dixie escaped that one. Travel by Wirsky. Turnover. Dixie with the basketball. 6:22 left in the half. 39-23. And the Rebels looking to come back. Roth against the man-to-man defense. Trying to get it to McDonald. Out in front it goes to Faldmo. Gets in front of his man to Johnson. Baseline. Five-footer. Banks home. Johnson goes around. Joey Johnson. And Peter has 6 points on the night. Sets the margin to 14. Full court pressure again. Collins against Rossum. Into forecourt. Leaves it for Joey Johnson. Joey Johnson against Peter Johnson. Joey Johnson wants to make the move. Has to get in close, really, to have the good shot. Collins, baseline jump shot. Good. And there is a foul. Who gets it? Joey Johnson or Faldmo? Apparently, Joey Johnson gets the foul. Joey Johnson with his second. The shot is good by Collins. And now some fouls starting to stack up for CSI, but no foul trouble either way. To the free throw line will go, I believe, Dave Faldmo, or will it be Rob Ross? Rob Ross to the free throw line. Shooting one-on-one with 5:52 left in a half. 41-25. 16-point disadvantage. CSI out in front. Rob Roth needs the first to get the second. First shot no good. Dixie not shooting free throws well, suddenly. 41-25. Dixie has missed three front ends of one-on-one. Three consecutive ones. Karst, three-point attempt up. No good. Rebound, Clint Rossum. Behind the back dribble, gets away. Has Collins to beat. Dishes off to Pete Johnson. Puts it up. Travel call on Pete Johnson. Out of bounds to CSI, and nothing Dixie's doing is working right now. Keith Reynolds into the lineup. Joey Johnson to sit down. 5:37 left in a half. 41-25. Dixie not shooting well, not rebounding well, and the free throw's not falling. But Dixie starting to put the defensive clamps on CSI. Collins in backcourt. Jump pass comes down the sidelines to Wirsky. Wirsky looks for help against Ross. Cross-court pass goes to Karst, leaves it out in front to Gerald Collins. CSI becoming more deliberate against that pressure defense. Collins to the high post. It goes to Reynolds. Almost stolen by Roth. Turnaround jump shot by Reynolds. No good. Rebound, Rob Roth. Roth coming out on the fast break. Hook pass goes to Rossum to Pete Johnson for two. The fast break. Rossum behind the head and laid it off to Pete Johnson, who got the layup. 41-27, 14-point lead by CSI. Double team in backcourt. Collins gets the pass into forecourt to Reynolds. Reynolds down the free throw line. Jump shot, no good. Rebound, Wirsky puts it up. It will not go. There's a foul on Pete Johnson. Pete Johnson knew it. To the free throw line goes Wirsky with 4:53 left in a half. 41-27. Dixie not shooting well. Not really getting the offense going, but Dixie not giving up either. At the free throw line, Wirsky. The advantage right now is CSI is holding their own with some of the starters getting a rest. Joey Johnson, Eric Newman, Keith Jackson, all with a couple of personal fouls and getting a rest. Wirsky misses the free throw. That's only the second free throw that CSI has shot tonight. 41-27. So if you're looking at the free throw line, Dixie has had more more chances. Wierski, second shot up, no good. Long rebound brought down by Pete Johnson. So Wierski misses two. Pete Johnson into forecourt. Pulls up, CSI back on defense to Rob Ross. Ross in the lane, looks for help. Dishes back to Peter Johnson at the right angle. Trying to find somebody underneath. Peter Johnson against Collins. Leans in, puts the shot over the basket. As Collins went up with him and bothered him. Rebounds by Wierski to Collins. Collins almost slips and goes down. Collins leaves it to Mauro Gomez. Dixie right there, nose-to-nose with CSI. To Karst, back to Gomez. Gomez can shoot from any place inside that 10-second line. Karst, who's having a good shooting night, gets the pass to Wierski. Baseline jump shot, short. Rebound, back to Wierski, who lays it up and in. Four Dixie players there, and Wierski was standing right where the rebound came. 43-27, back to a 16-point advantage. Ross drives, dishes back off. Rossum, three-point attempt, good. Quint Rossum. A total of 7 points on the night. Craig Hopkins ready to come back in. Fred Trankel up arguing with the official. 43-30. Trankel, I don't think, thought it was going to be a three-point attempt. Timeout with 4:03 left in the half. 43-30, CSI out in front back after this.
When it comes to building quality cars and trucks, nobody does it better than the Dodge Boys. And when it comes to backing them up, nobody does it better than Chrysler Corporation with its new 7-year or 70,000-mile warranty. And when it comes to saving you money on new Dodge cars and trucks, nobody does that better than Ken Bentley at Lunt Motor Company in St. George. Before you buy a new car or truck, it'll pay you to stop by and check out the new Dodges at Lunt Motor Company in St. George across from...
4:03 left in a half. Dixie has been down by 18, has led by as much as 4. The Dixie trying to claw their way back from 18 points down. That's brought it back to within 13. CSI will have the basketball. Dixie, really, the problem has been the board. Dixie has not been able to get the rebound that well. First half looking similar to the game in St. George. Although Dixie has not been able to get that pressure defense to force a number of turnovers in a hurry, as it did late in the first half in St. George. Dixie's been able to inch their way back, but CSI has the basketball. Collins, Karst, Reynolds, Wierski, and Gomez. The only starter in there is Gomez. For Dixie, Hopkins, Ross, Baldmo, Rossum, and McDonald. Full court pressure. Collins waves everybody away. Collins, who was coming off a hairline fracture of his leg last time out, playing much better this time. Reynolds against Ross. Back out in front it comes to Karst. To the point to Gomez. Gomez trying to get away from Baldmo. Gomez steps up, takes the two-point attempt and misses. Long rebound comes to Collins. Collins baseline jump shot, good. And once again, the rebound comes off to CSI. Into forecourt. Hopkins quickly. Three-point pass, no attempt. Pass instead goes to Baldmo. Three-point attempt. Rossum, good. And Quint Rossum brings it right back again. Back within 12, 45-33. And Rossum, it's hit two straight three-pointers. Karst looks for help to Collins, to Reynolds. Pass on the wing goes to Gomez. Picked up quickly by Baldmo to Collins. CSI playing deliberate half-court basketball right now. Collins down the lane, leans in, five-footer will go. The foul will be on Collins after the shot, and the official out in front, I think, wants to give the basket. The man underneath says, uh-uh. The man underneath will overrule him, so take away the basket. Offensive foul, Collins. Dixie will not get free throws. Fred Trinkle wants a timeout, and he's screaming at the officials. Timeout CSI with 3:12 left in the first half. 47-33 CSI. Back after this.
All home equity loan plans are not created equal.
Timeout. A technical was called on Fred Trinkle arguing on that change to the offensive foul, and Chris Rossum will shoot free throws. Rossum, first free throw up, rattles, will not go. So Dixie now has missed three straight front ends of one and one, plus the front end of a two-shot technical. Second shot up and good, and Rossum gets one out of two, so it'll only cost CSI 1 point. Take away the 2 points. We said 47-33. It's actually 45-34 with the free throw by Rossum. Dixie has brought an 18-point disadvantage back to an 11-point disadvantage with 3:11 left in the half. Rob Ross against Karst. Fred Trankel has his first technical of the night. I say first, you never know. Trankel gets excited. Ross to Baldmo. At the angle, it goes to Hopkins. Underneath, it goes to Ross. Back into the corner, it goes to Dave Baldmo. Baldmo making a move on Reynolds. We have a foul, reach-in foul on Reynolds. And Reynolds has his first personal foul. Dixie starting to crawl back with the free throws right now. And if you're looking at free throws, Dixie has had an opportunity to get back right in this game and has missed some free throws. They have shot many more than CSI. They fall low to shoot 1-1. Dixie has missed the last three front ends of 1-1. He's the first to get the second. Falmo, free throw, good. Dave Falmo, who seems to get the points right when Dixie needs them, brings it back within 10. Eric Newman back in. Joey Johnson back in. Keith Reynolds, who has not played well against Dixie, will go out. Bill Worski will go out. Darryl White about ready to come back in and maybe in replacing Roger McDonald. We'll wait and see. Pete Johnson waiting to come in for Falmo. White in. Roth will go out. So White will come in. Trent Rossum and Craig Hopkins will serve as the guards. Darryl White, we got a little more rebounding strength in there. Dixie, back within 10. Paul Moe needs the second half of the 1-1 to make it 9. Second shot is up, soft, and no good. So Paul Moe hits 1 out of 2. Rebound CSI. Here comes Keith Jackson, who's back into the lineup. Jackson against Hopkins. To Gomez. Gomez, jump pass underneath to Joey Johnson, who lays it up and in. Joey Johnson, 10 first half points. Makes it a 12-point advantage again. 47-35. Hopkins against Keith Jackson. Right in the lane to the baseline. It goes to Falmo. Foul on Hopkins the other way. Hopkins ran over the defensive man. Picks up his second personal foul. Johnson in. Falmo out. So a turnaround by Dixie again. CSI allowing. And Dixie clawing their way back to within 10 after trailing by 18. And they say after the pass. So it's a 1-1 situation coming up for CSI. CSI, good free throw shooting team. Could have won the ball game with free throws in St. George, but missed some key ones. Right now, CSI getting some free throws. That is the 17th foul on Dixie, so that's the 1-1. Hopkins, the first Dixie player to get 2 personals on the night. 3. We're missing 1 personal foul someplace. I am missing 1 someplace in there. At the free throw line. Joey Johnson to shoot 1-1. First shot is up and too hard. Banks off the back of the rim and will not come down. So Johnson misses the front end of the 1-1. CSI 1-for-4. Lead pass to McDonald. Back to Darryl White. Lays it up and in. And flying, McDonald got the pass to White. Back to within 10. 47-37. Joey Johnson against Pete Johnson. Ball knocked away by Rob Roth. And the foul will go to Rob Roth instead of to Pete Johnson. Johnson thought he got the clean block. The official says Roth, and so Joey Johnson will shoot 1-on-1 again. That's number 1 on Rob Roth. Joey Johnson to the free throw line. On the double team, Joey Johnson suddenly found 2 Dixie players in his face, and Dixie almost got the steal. 2:21 left in the half. CSI leads by 10, 47-37. Johnson, 0-for-1, missed the front end of a 1-on-1 just moments ago. Joey Johnson, shot up, and soft and good. 11 points. Against a 17-plus point-per-game average, Dixie has been stung by Joey Johnson underneath. Newman talking to the official. Darryl White talking to the official. And apparently, there are some strong feelings down there. 2:21 left in the first half of play. 48-37. CSI with the lead by 11. Has led by as much as 18. Joey Johnson. Second free throw. Up and good. And Johnson hits 2 out of 2. Back to a 12-point margin. Dixie facing full court pressure by CSI. Roth into forecourt against Karst. Dixie trading baskets right now. Bounce pass goes to McDonald against Newman. Bank shot up and good. Roger McDonald turns on Newman and gets the bank shot home. 8 points, Roger McDonald. Full court pressure. Once again, a 10-point lead, 49-39. Karst is still in backcourt. Into forecourt against Roth. Gets it to Newman. Bounce pass to Joey Johnson, who slams it. Johnson makes it a 12-point advantage again. Rob Roth on the transition game coming quickly into forecourt. 12-point advantage. 51-39 once again. Roth looks for help. Bounce pass goes to Darryl White. Turns around, takes the 5-footer and banks it home. And Darryl White shooting with confidence has 3 first-half baskets. 51-41. Newman quickly into forecourt. Gets it to Joey Johnson. Almost slips. Johnson leans in. Jump shot will not go. Rebound spiked away, they say, by Newman. Out of bounds to Dixie. A minute 31 left in a half. Dixie could bring it down less than 10 points. McDonald talking to the official right now. McDonald a little winded, and the official wants to time out for a minute. McDonald apparently got an elbow in the solar plexus, trying to catch his breath. Roth, during that time, had a chance to get his shoes tied. Worski into the lineup. Will it be Newman that's coming out, or will it be Jackson? Coming out is Karst. So Jackson will go to that point guard position. A minute 31, less than a half. 51-41. Dixie has trailed by 18. They brought it back to within 10. And Roth to be picked up at midcourt by Keith Jackson. Dixon starting to get the shots to fall now, getting the shots that they need. Being patient to Roger McDonald. McDonald against Newman, dishes off to Ross. Ross looks for help. Wants to get it to White. Backdoor pass goes to Ross. Rotham and a travel call. The official says Rotham didn't get the dribble down in time. So Dixie with a chance to bring it under a double-figure advantage. Turns the ball over. Jackson in backcourt. Full court pressure again. Gomez in backcourt. Gomez will be picked up at midcourt by Darryl White. Cross-court pass goes to Keith Jackson. A minute three left in the half. Back to Jackson. Jackson stepped in at the free throw line. Can't get the shot away. Jackson being chased by Rob Roth. Out in front it comes to Gomez. Gomez against White, and behind the back dribble, three-point attempt is up, too hard. Rebound, Roger McDonald. Dixie looking for the fast break. McDonald's lead pass comes to Ross. To Pete Johnson for the layup, and Pete Johnson gets his fifth basket. Brings it back within eight. 51-43 with 42 seconds left in the half, and you have to look for CSI to go to one shot. 38 seconds left. Jackson against Ross. Double team at midcourt. Jackson trying to get away. Ball knocked away by Rotham. Jackson loses it. It's in the floor. Back to Joey Johnson. Dives to the basket. Puts it up and in. As they call a foul on McDonald. Yes. Joey Johnson went up and over. Roger McDonald and Johnson having a career night against McDonald. The foul will go to Roger McDonald. His second. And to the free throw line, Joey Johnson takes it back out to a 10-point lead. Could make it 11 with 28 seconds left in the half. And Dixie should get the final shot. Dixie trailed in five of their last seven ball games, and here we go again, and led by one in one other game. In St. George, trailed 50-40 by 10 at the half. Right now it's 53-43. Out of the lineup, Newman. Back in is Keith Reynolds. Fred Drinkel wants to keep Newman from getting a third personal foul. Joey Johnson, 16 points on the night. 28 seconds left in a half. Wants to make it 17. First shot, the shot is up and good. Three-point play completed. Into the lineup, Gerald Collins. Out goes Joey Johnson with 28 seconds left. It's 54-43. Dixie trailed by 10 in the first half in St. George. With 24 seconds left in a half, Rob Ross. Dixie sets up with the four corners and CSI into that zone defense. According to Fred Trankel in a pregame interview, the first time they used that was against St. George last time out. Or against Dixie the last time out. Trying to prevent foul trouble. 7 seconds left. Pete Johnson looks for help. Back to Rob Ross. Ross, bounce pass underneath to White. Leaves it for Fulton, who lays it up and in. And that's the end of the first half. Dixie Brack brings it back within nine. 54-45. The halftime advantage CSI. Back after this. 45, the halftime advantage. College of Southern Idaho leading Dixie. And we have Glenn Karpov, the assistant coach at Oklahoma State, with us. Glenn, first of all, your impressions of this first ball game.
Well, I tell you what, these are two of the best teams in the country, Larry. There's no doubt about it. It's hard to say one's two, one's three, but they're both very well coached. They both are playing their styles. I know that Southern Idaho is doing a good job of getting up and down the court, and Kent's kids are not letting the game get away from them. And from what we were talking about earlier, it must be very similar to the first game. And if they can stay in it with the talent that Ken's got and the way he's using his bench, there's no doubt that they can make a run at the end, and you never know what will happen then.
Have you had a chance to see Dixie and CSI before? Not together, obviously.
No, I've seen them both before, and I know that they're two of the best teams, and there's a certain intensity that comes out, though, when they get together that doesn't come out when they're not playing one another. So you see that here in the crowd, and the atmosphere is just all there.
I know that there are a lot of scouts around, and obviously this is one of your key times at Oklahoma State.
It really is, Larry. We don't get to spend much time with our team. We have a situation where we have three of the best inside players in America coming in, a 7'4 youngster, a 6'10, and a 6'7. We've got to sign two or three guards that can step in right away. So this week I've been in Missouri. I was at St. George Tuesday. I was in Texas Wednesday, North Carolina last night, and then back here tonight. So it's a very pivotal time, and our head coach, Leonard Hamilton, will be going out in 2 weeks after our season. Leonard was the assistant coach of Kentucky for 12 years, and we know that once he goes out, that the eight or nine people that we're recruiting, he'll be able to make a decision and then go after them and try to sell them on our situation.
Glenn, let's talk a little bit. How does an assistant coach at a major school get to be an assistant coach at a major school?
Well, Larry, this is my 22nd year in coaching. I've been a head coach at the Division II level. Coach Hamilton and I have known each other for a long time. In fact, we met recruiting Daryl Dawkins when I was an assistant at Stetson, and he first went to Kentucky. But I was very fortunate. I worked the camp when I was in college, got to know the right people, and was just in the right place at the right time. But I think this is my 15th year as an assistant coach, so I enjoy it. I enjoy who I'm working for. I enjoy Oklahoma State University. It's a great place, and it's a great place for the young people, too.
The travel has got to be wearying at times.
It really is. I'm out about 5 or 6 days a week, and I've got 4 children and a wonderful wife. So it does get very demanding, but when your wife understands it, it makes it a lot easier. And we know we got a job to do, and we just got to go out and do the job, get it done. And we've got a great product to sell, and I know we're very interested in 2 of the players at Dixie, and we hope that they're as interested in us.
As far as the assistant coach goes, the cutting down of the time for signing letters of intent, that must help your personal life some.
There's no doubt about it, Larry, and I think the big thing about it, we just got to work smarter. Next year, we're only going to sign 2 people. So if we sign the right 3 guards this year to go with the 2 people we signed early, it'll make it a lot easier. But there's no doubt it'd be great for the family, but we'll have to work smarter rather than just going out there like we are now and being out 5 and 6 days a week.
Let's talk a little bit about Oklahoma State. Oklahoma's then A&M was the first team to win back-to-back national championships. So there's tradition there.
There really is. Mr. Ive is there at every practice. He really helps us. He supports us. Our administration's really made a commitment to it. We've got a beautiful campus. Our facility is going to be totally renovated next year. And we've got a head coach that's one of the real great winners and really does a good job of getting the kids to play hard and prepare to win. And we don't have much talent right now, but the thing is, we fill our place up every night. We've got a place very similar to Duke University. We're in a very tough conference. Last week, we were very fortunate to beat Oklahoma, and so it gave us some credibility. And we think with a good recruiting year, with Coach Hamilton, the job he's done this year, it'd be tough for him to do a better job in the future because we just don't have any players. But as I say, it's a great situation for the right people to come in and step right in and play for us.
For Oklahoma State, that win against Oklahoma, you mentioned gave you credibility, but that proves how tough the Big 8 is this year, isn't it?
It really is. We've got 7 teams in the league that can beat anybody on a given night. Colorado is the only team that hasn't proven they can. But I know Tom Miller's doing a great job there. And the Big 8 right now is going to probably have 4 teams in the NCAA this year. They had 5 last year. So it's just a very, very strong conference from top to bottom. We've got 4 new coaches in the league this year. And it's not a football conference like it used to be. I know our basketball program has been fortunate that we've been featured in 3 major publications this year. And just this month, we were in Inside Sports and had a full-color picture and all that of Coach Hamilton and 2 of our big kids. So we've got the credibility right now that the program hasn't had since Miss Iva was there.
Well, Big 8 was one of the first conferences to experiment with a time clock. That changed things in the Big 8, didn't it?
And we've got a great commissioner, and he's the type of guy that likes to try things. And it's the type of conference because it takes on the whole middle of the United States. And the media exposure we get has just been incredible. We get a full house anywhere we go in the 8-team league. And even though it's a football league right now, it's basketball. It's come on so fast and so quickly that we think that the experiments, the new coaching, the commitments made by all 8 schools, that our conference is very, very close to reaching out with the ACC, the Big East, and Big Ten are right now.
One other change has taken place. Over the years, maybe the Hank Ivins style has been Big 8. Tough defense, patient offense. Now it seems like the run-and-gun style of Billy Tubbs and Larry Brown and Leonard Hamilton are coming in.
They really are. And one of the interesting things about our league is 6 of the 8 teams in our league play man-to-man. And so that style that Mr. Ivins initiated many years ago, that part has stayed. And probably we have more man-to-man defense than any league in the country. So that's a great thing for, say, a youngster like Clint Rossum, who's going to see a lot of zones in a lot of places. Clint can come in the Big 8, and he'll be able to play man-to-man, and he can do that. And he'll go against man-to-man, which is his strength. So we can really see the Big 8. It's got a fan-pleasing style. and a style that's very, very indicative of what the young people want to play.
No question, the Midwest is basketball country, too.
It really is, Larry.
Coach Glenn Karpoff, assistant coach at Oklahoma State, thank you for being with us. Good luck with your program the rest of this year and in future years.
Thank you, Larry. And I look forward to meeting all the people in St. George when we come back next week and in the future. It's a great place, a great group of people, and you really do a great job yourself.
Thank you, Glenn. Appreciate that. 54-45, the halftime lead CSI out in front of Dixie. We'll be back with Coach Jerry Titus after this.
Jones Paint and Glass offers up
at College of Southern Idaho, Dixie, if this is any consolation to Dixie fans, Dixie's 1 point better off now than they were in St. George against CSI. They trailed by 10 at the half in St. George. Coach Jerry Titus, you had a struggle tonight. That's obvious.
Yes, we did. We didn't play as well as I had hoped that we would play. You know, we at halftime we were ahead 18-25, and we should have just maintained that, I believe, but they came out strong the second half, and our defense really let down. We held them to 18, which was our goal, to play good defense in the entire game. The first half, we hold them to 18. The second half, they come out and blast us with 47 more points.
Let's talk a little bit about your ball club. Obviously, when I talked to you at halftime, you were saying, we have a seven-point lead, but we're not playing well. You were frustrated.
Yes, I was, because our offense wasn't going very well at that time, and we were real sluggish up and down the court, and, you know, we had the lead, but that didn't mean a lot to me in my mind because my team wasn't playing the way I know they can play, the way they played against Snow or the way they played against Utah Tech. That intensity wasn't in their eyes and on the floor, and so I was a bit worried.
You mentioned this year that there are sometimes two teams to show up for the Lady Rebels, one intense, one not.
Yes, and I believe that, I mean, I, with all my heart, that I have two different teams out there. And we've been working on it. You know, like I said, the first half I thought we were doing okay, only because defensively we were holding them. You know, offensively to score 25 points is not that good, but I thought defensively if we can hold them, that'll be okay. You know, we'll play a real strong defensive game, but my two teams, I don't know. I wish that the one would just really explode and get some wins here and get us into regionals.
What does this do now for your standings and your possibilities of regional?
Well, it just puts us in a tougher situation. Now we have to hope that CNCC or Ann, let's say Ann, Northern Idaho lost tonight. You know, the only way that we're going to stay alive now is to win from here on out, and those two teams are going to have to lose.
Your ball club, walking wounded a little bit tonight, too.
I couldn't believe the officiating was not that good, but I have Diane with a sprained ankle, and now I have Robin with a sprained ankle. The officials were just pretty much out of control, and they were letting a lot of things, you know, my players were getting plowed over a lot. But, they're hurt right now, but I think they'll be okay if they get it into their heads. Mentally, they need to get tougher.
Little foul trouble tonight, too.
Yeah, you know, we were having a hard time overall, but I really think it was we were being lazy and sluggish, and if you do that, you foul.
Against Treasure Valley, what do you expect tomorrow night?
Well, they don't have a very good record. In fact, they're last in our league. But with my two teams, I don't know which team will play tomorrow night.
We'll find out. Jerry Titus, condolences on the loss. Best of luck tomorrow night.
Thank you, Larry.
Jerry Titus, the head women's coach at Dixie College. The final score in the women's game, 65-55. CSI winning. Here in the men's game at half, 54-45. CSI out in front. We'll be back with the halftime scoring totals after this. 47. Gomez, double team. Just across the 10-second line. Gets it to Keith Jackson. CSI had a big burst where they outscored Dixie 21-4 at one point. And that was the burst that's given CSI the lead. The ball knocked away from Newman, picked up by McDonald. Ball dribbled away by Craig Hopkins. Here comes Dixie. Hopkins, 3-on-2. Hopkins dishes off to Pete Johnson. And the foul by Hopkins after he let go of the ball runs over Mauro Gomez. And that's the third personal on Craig Hopkins. Hopkins, who had his career night against against CSI in St. George, had a total of 20 points, has just 2 points, and now is in foul trouble with three personals. 54-47. Dixie blows the fast break. Has brought it back within seven. Jackson into forecourt. It goes to Gomez. College of Southern Idaho. The fans have been full, but they haven't really been all that vocal here. Dixie was much more vocal in terms of fans right now, but Dixie, I guess, maybe juiced up for it a little more. Gomez, double pumps along the baseline, shot up, no good. Rebound, Steve Andrus, looks for help.
gets it for Craig Hopkins. Andrus started out, and Andrus with the rebound. Dixie needs the rebound. The fans for CSI starting to get a little worried right now. 54-47. Hopkins bounced back down the sidelines. Too big. Dribbled away from McDonald, and a turnover by Dixie. Here comes CSI. To the baseline, it goes to Drevnik. There's it out in front. Gomez, three-point attempt. Up, no good. Rebound, Drevnik. Back to the basket. Shot good. Foul will go to whom? McDonald, and that's three on Rogers. So Dixie not boxing out again, and Drevnik got there. That makes it a 56-47 lead. And CSI a chance to make it 10 again. And Dixie suddenly with two men with three personal fouls. McDonald, not that intense in underneath. Drevnik got the shot and got the rebound to fall. Drevnik trying to complete the three-point play. Shot up and good. And Drevnik, a total of 5 points on the night. That takes it back out to a 10-point lead. Hopkins quickly into forecourt. Double-team trap on Hopkins looking for help. Bounce pass back door goes to Pete Johnson. Along the baseline, lays it up from five, and good. Pete Johnson just too quick at the baseline. 14 points on the night. Pete Johnson, double-team on Jackson. Ball knocked away. Touch last by Jackson. Dixie forces the turnover. Dixie back within eight, 57-49. Hopkins knocked the ball away from Jackson. Jackson touched it last. It's out of bounds to Dixie in backcourt, and here we go. Pressure on both sides. Pete Johnson, to inbound, says so to Andrus. Back to Pete Johnson. Johnson will be picked up by Johnson. Johnson and Johnson out there. Peter against Joey, and Joey picks up the foul. Joey now with three personal fouls. Pete Johnson just a little too quick for Joey. Along the baseline. 57-49. Out of bounds to Dixie. That is the first team foul on CSI this half. Two on Dixie. Crowded along the sidelines. They have every last person they can squeeze in here, plus live cable television. People are looking to this one. McDonald, three-point attempt, up too long. Got the inbound pass, took the three-pointer. Long rebound, Joey Johnson to the baseline. It goes to Drevnik, has the notion, back to Keith Jackson. Against Hopkins, ball knocked away from Jackson. Back to the baseline, it goes to Drevnik. Cut off, bank shot from five is good. Drevnik making a move along the baseline, back to a 10-point lead. Hopkins into forecourt. Rossum in the lane. It goes to Andrus. Andrus back to Pete Johnson against Joey. Down the lane. Ball knocked away by Gomez. Here comes CSI on the fast break. Keith Jackson lays it up and in. And the foul will be on Jackson after. Fred Trinkle up and screaming. Jackson gets the basket. It is good and gets his third personal foul. It's out of bounds to Dixie. That's the second team foul. Rossum drew the foul on Jackson after the shot. And now foul trouble on Keith Jackson. So it's back to a 12-point lead, 61-49. Dixie can't bring it back any closer to seven, but here we go again. 17:35 left in the game. Pete Johnson against Joey Johnson. Perry now going one-on-one. Roger McDonald against Drevnik. Back to Clint Rossum. Rossum with the basketball against Newman. Looks for help. Rossum goes baseline against Newman. Pulls up, 10-footer too long. Rebound, Joey Johnson. Outlet pass to Keith Jackson. Two-on-two fast break. Keith Jackson pulls up, 5-footer, banks too hard. Rebound, Roger McDonald. Down goes Newman. Fred Trankel wants the foul. It isn't there. To Pete Johnson, 3-on-2, Steve Andrus. Pulls up, leans in, left hand, no good. Misses everything. And the rebound brought down by CSI. So Dixie, with a chance to take advantage on the fast break, misses. 61-49, 12-point lead by CSI. Dixie, not that far out of it. Jackson, to the baseline, it goes to Drevnik. 10-footer shot, blocked out of bounds by Andrus. 6-8 against 6-8. Baldwell ready to come in, and Steve Andrus to sit down. 61-49. Dixie's offense still not back where Coach Ken Wagner would like it to be. Jackson, to inbounds for CSI, to Gomez. Gomez against Pete Johnson. Goes baseline. Gomez has the ball knocked away. Foul on Peter Johnson. Johnson with his second personal. Do they rule a shooting violation? Yes, and Gomez will shoot. They say on the drive or on the shot. The officials check with one another. And they say, yes, it's on the shot. So shooting will be Mauro Gomez. Gomez, excellent. Excellent shooter. Just a pure excellent shooter. The best free throw shooter on the season for CSI, 76.5%. Shot up and good. Gomez. 6'7 forward from Sao Paulo, Brazil. Does not work well underneath, but sure hits the perimeter shot. Gomez, second shot up and good, and it's a 14-point lead. Dixie has had their chances to bring it back and have not been able to take advantage of it. Double team on Hopkins. It goes to Rossum. Rossum gets away. Three-point attempt. Up and good. Quinn Rossum shooting with confidence. Brings it back within 11. 63-52. And Rossum with a total of 14 points. Full court pressure again. Newman being pressured by Peter Johnson. Ball knocked away. Stolen by Roger McDonald. Lead pass comes to Peter Johnson against Joey in the lane. Shot good. And Peter Johnson, 16 points. Brings it back within 9. 63-54. And here goes the pressure defense again. Jackson against Hopkins. Jackson into 4-4. Bounce pass. Down the sidelines. Gomez. Three-point attempt over the basket. There's a foul. And it will go on McDonald. That's number 4 on Roger. Roger with his 4th personal foul. Big trouble for Dixie. McDonald, who is not having a particularly good night, picks up his 4th. Did they say after the shot? Or did they say as part of the shot? That's the next question. To the free throw line goes Gomez again. Darryl White back into the lineup. And White, who has been, who was the hottest offensive player against the BYU JV, in fact, maybe the only hot offensive player, they say after the shot. So Gomez will not shoot. It's out of bounds to CSI. But big foul trouble for Dixie. 3 on Hopkins, 4 on McDonald. McDonald will sit down for a while. Jackson to the right side. It goes to Drevnik against Dave Falzma. To the baseline it goes to Joey Johnson. Holding foul on Clint Rossum. And that is the 15th foul on Dixie this half. Let's double check. 1, 2, 3, 4. That is the 5th. 15th foul. Out of bounds to CSI again. Jackson inbounds underneath. It goes to Drevnik. Muscle shot good. And Drevnik gets the basket. Drevnik, 7 second half points. Makes it an 11-point lead again. 65-54. Hopkins looks for help against Keith Jackson. Trying to go baseline. Can't get the pass away. Now gets it to Peter Johnson against Joey Johnson. Peter Johnson making the move. Has the notion. Underneath it goes to Darryl White. Shoots over Gomez. Shot up. It's soft and good. And Darryl White with 4 baskets. Shooting very well. Brings it back. Within 9 again, 65-56. Rob Ross about ready to come back in. Jackson gets away from Hopkins, pulls up, lays it up, no good. Blocking foul will go to Dave Falzo. That's a 16th foul this half, and Dixie picking up some fouls at too fast a rate for Coach Ken Wagner's like. Ken Wagner talking with the official. Hopkins to sit down, Rob Ross to come into the lineup. Jackson to shoot a couple. Jackson is 1-for-1 on the night and a total of 11 points in St. George. Jackson had 15, the number 2 scorer on the night. 15-29 left in the game. 65-56, first shot. Jackson good. CSI 4-for-4 this half. In the first half, CSI went 4-for-7. Not bad. Dixie went 9-for-13-17. Not particularly good. Jackson gets the second back to an 11-point lead. 67-56. Falmo gets away from the pressure. Pass comes into forecourt to Ross. 3-on-2. CSI back quickly on defense. So Ross pulls it out again. Rob Ross looking for help. Dixie has brought it back within 7. Ross dishes off. Intended for Falmo. Deflected off the fingertips of Pete Johnson out of bounds. So CSI clogging the passing lane. Ross couldn't get the pass to Pete Johnson. CSI leads by 11. 67-56. Jackson against Ross. Ball knocked away by Ross. Jackson has it back. Keith Jackson against Rob Ross. At the angle, it goes to Eric Newman. Newman against Darryl White. Wants to make the move. Into the corner, Keith Jackson. Three-point attempt up. No good. Rebound gathered in by Darryl White. Leaves it for Rob Ross. The CSI not shooting as hot as they did in the first 10 minutes. Dixie can make a move if they can get some shots to fall. Ross looks for help. Gets it to Clint Rossum. Rossum against Eric Newman. Has the ball knocked away by Newman. Ball knocked away again on the floor. Newman fields it. Ball knocked away. Stolen right back by Pete Johnson. Ball knocked away by Joey Johnson. Into the hands of Rob Ross. Pete against Joey. Shot up. No good. Foul on Joey. And Joey Johnson has number 4. Big turnaround. And Pete Johnson at the free throw line. Dixie's defense keeping Dixie close right now. The offensive passing has been less than awe-inspiring, but the shots have been falling better since 7 minutes left in the first half. Dixie trailed by 18 at one point. Now trails by 11. Joey Johnson out and has been a factor on the boards. Bill Wurski in. Pete Johnson, who had 32 in St. George, a career high, has 16 tonight. Has moved past Roger McDonald as the number 2 scorer for Dixie. That's the 13th foul on CSI. Two of them this half
on Joey Johnson, and that's why Johnson's shooting his heels. Pete Johnson shot good, and Pete's now 1-for-2 from the free throw line. First free throw attempt, the second half. 67-57, 10-point lead by the Golden Eagles. Pete Johnson trying to bring it back within 9. Pete Johnson, second shot good, and Johnson 18 points on the night. Is it timeout by TV? Yes. 14:34 left in the game. 67-58. CSI back after this.
It's never been easier.
14:34 left in the ball game, and the CSI mascot starting to do a little bit as a Gypsy Rose Lee imitation at midcourt. Everyone's laughing right now. Dixie has brought the margin back to within 9. That was a half-point advantage once again for CSI. Dixie looks to be so close. They're getting back really close in this game. The pressure arm broken with a quick pass, and Keith Jackson brings it into forecourt. Dixie, tight man-to-man defense. Jackson against Ross. Jackson wants to make the move, trying to find the pass to Newman. Has the ball to Newman. Newman gets it back to Gomez. Gomez can't get the shot away. Baseline takes the jump shot and hits it. Back to an 11-point lead. Gomez has the hot hand tonight, has 12 points on the night. Back to an 11-point lead, 69-58. Dixie just cannot seem to break that margin of 9 consistently. Ross looking for help. Bounce pass goes to Peter Johnson. CSI playing good defense to Dave Faldmo. So is Dixie, though. To Darryl White. To Rob Ross. Ross looks for help. To Clint Rossum in the lane. Pulls up. Jump shot over Newman. Up. No good. Rebound. Battle four. Pete Johnson has it. Wants to go back to the basket. Back to Clint Rossum. To Rob Ross at the point. Ross trying to find White underneath. Can't find him. Dixie being patient. Ross. There is a foul away from the action. Is it on Ross? Or is it a 3-second violation? Or a foul on Faldmo? The foul, instead, will go on Wirsky. We'll figure out who it goes to next. That's number 2 on Wirsky. That's the 4th team foul on CSI, out of bounds to Dixie under their own basket. CSI, not quite as quick as Dixie, but CSI is quick. Baldwin gets the inbound pass, now makes the move in the lane. Head fake now, goes with a bounce pass to Darryl White, who misses the layup. Rebound, Pete Johnson. Darryl White escaped without a foul, reached over the back. Dixie has to feel lucky if Pete Johnson with 20 points, 10 this second half. Into forecourt, Drevnik at the angle that goes to Wirsky. CSI with the basketball, back to Drevnik in the corner against Peter Johnson. Drevnik to Mauro Gomez. Three-pointer good, and there's a foul on Dixie on the rebound. Gomez with the three-pointer, his third of the night. That makes it 72-60, and the foul will go to Dixie. It may be on Darryl White, and it's out of bounds to CSI. Just what Dixie doesn't need. Shades of the BYU-JV game. Dixie dug too big a hole against BYU and can never come back. And it's almost like that now. Who gets the foul? It may be on Darryl White. I think they signaled White. That's the second personal on Darryl White. It's out of bounds to CSI. Oh, it's 1-1 to CSI. Did they say two shots? They say two shots coming up for Eric Newman. Apparently, they rule it's an intentional foul. Two-shot penalty. Or is they, have they just signaled it was good on the 2 points? They say not three, they say two. Should have been three. The score says 72-60. Newman shooting 1-1. First shot, no good. Followed by Jackson, who came from nowhere. Dixie didn't screen out, and the boards cost him. It will go to 73-60. That will count as a two-pointer instead of a three-pointer. Ross. To Clint Rossum. It's a 13-point lead by CSI. To Rob Ross. Head fake. Tries to make the move. Travel on Dixie. Ross turns the ball over. 12:57 left in the game. Ben Wagner talking with the officials again. Both coaches have been up talking. CSI with the basketball. And a 13-point lead. It's CSI's advantage now and starting to get some momentum. Newman. Hook pass goes to Keith Jackson. Juggles the ball. Gets it back. Jackson looks for help. Jackson against Ross. Bounce pass into the right corner. Goes to Newman. Newman, who had 31 in St. George, has not picked up that many tonight. To Gomez. Gomez against Ross and in the lane. Running pass goes to Drevnik. No travel call. Drevnik gets the layup. And Dixie on the verge of being blown out. 15-point advantage, 75-60. Dixie brought it back. Close. Within 9. And suddenly CSI is working on a timeout call. With 12:22 left in the game, 75-60. CSI back up. 75-60 with 12:22 left in the game. Dixie on the verge of pushing themselves right out of the game. And CSI, with the rebounding strength, doing it, helping them. But Dixie seemed to be on the verge of getting right back in the game. Brought it back to within seven briefly and kept it at about a nine-point advantage. Inbound pass stolen by Drevnik to Keith Jackson. On the wing it goes to Gomez. No trouble call. Gomez with a layup. And there we go. Dixie with a turnover. 17-point advantage. And Dixie's going to have to really get tough now. Maybe once again, too big a hole has been dug. Rob Ross against Jackson. Ross, free throw line, pulls up short, gets it back to Clint Rotham. Head fakes against Newman in the lane, dishes off to Pete Johnson. Five-footer, goaltend on Newman. Johnson gets the basket. 12 points this half by Johnson, 22 on the night. That brings it back within 15. Dixie's going to have to put the clamps on defensively. Gomez goes to Wierski. To the baseline it goes to Keith Jackson. Jackson left alone in the three-point area, doesn't take the shot. Jackson to Ross. Back to Drevnik. Drevnik to Gomez. Baseline jump shot. Short. Rebound. Taken by Darryl White. Leaves it for Rob Ross. Dixie to push it up court. Trailing by 15. Ross right down the lane to the baseline. Pete Johnson. 10-footer soft. Will it go? No. Rebound brought down by Wierski. Once again, the board power of CSI. Costing Dixie. And Dixie with some foul trouble by Roger McDonald. And Steve Andrus not playing all that well with the 2-6-8 kids on the bench. Out in front, it comes to Drevnik. Drevnik to Wierski. CSI maintaining that advantage to Gomez. Gomez, double team, turns around, takes a 10-footer, no good. Rebound, battle four, back to Drevnik. Once again to Wierski. CSI with the basketball, leading by 15. Underneath to Drevnik, gets away and lays it in. Drevnik, 11 points. In the forecourt, three-pointer, Rotham, good. And Clint Rotham drills it again. That's four three-pointers by Clint Rotham.